anything? Are we on? Okay, that's a kerfuffly time. Hello, team. Oh, okay, you're there. Okay, so much for dignified. We're just as dignified as the Colbert Show going on Skype and nobody looking at the camera. That's very quirky. So skidding into place, that's adorable. All right, so because nothing was working quite. Hello. All right, so welcome, teammates. There we go, to the Visionary Activist Show as recognition of the unfurling enormity of the spookiness upon us. How shall we metaphorically cooperate? And what shall we ladle out of this cauldron of collapse? So we welcome longtime co-cahooter, radio medicine woman, Karen Sanders, host of the Herbal Highway on KPFA. We're collaborating again, that sane reverence may assume cultural narrative lead. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Hello.
Oh, there we go. And can you hear me okay? I'm on cell phone. The systems seem to be collapsing all everywhere. Well, everything's collapsing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Part of our theme. Oh, that's great. So he has many things to play with. It is the anniversary tomorrow, the 20th anniversary of Terence McKenna's death. And so I think we want to call in all ancestors. And it was wondering, like, what did Terence have to say about viruses? He had something to say about everything. And he did. And he pointed me in the direction. He said, viruses, yes, a long, long history of humans. And may we learn how to work it out with, you know, and without this incredible price. He sent me to the book, his ancestor self sent me the book, Plagues and Peoples, which is, we'll riff back and forth, right? But it's like, ooh, plagues and humans and, you know, long time. This is not new, but it is. We do want to bring in our trickster selves here. And, you know, did we know that in the plague of Justinian, 10,000 people a day died in Constantinople for some years? It's like, oh my God. Anyway, so a long thing. There we go. And then, so I just wanted to honor that. And when he died, when Terence died, the sun was at 14 Aries, whose image is weaving a magical basket out of serpents. And we go, right. So he kind of tosses, or that tosses to us, you know, what we were talking about, undulating and cooperating and poisonous allies, that so many of us have been working on that theme, right? So did you want to take it from there?
yeah. Well, it's just a matter of, you know, how do you get through this? And Caroline, you and I were talking about this. There's a history with humans of having this happen over and over. You know, this isn't the first time. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, I was talking about time isn't linear. So, you know, all these people died. And you said at one point, 50% of the population in one of them. And I was, you know, so if we're here, that means that our ancestors before us survived, you know, even though we might have been brought from the stars, we're put into humans. So it means that in your genetics somewhere, it's already there and available for you to figure out, you know, how do I get through this? And how do I get through this well? You know, whether I get the virus or don't get the virus, you know, the coding of it, the history of this happening before is in us. So we have a place to call on and to remember that, and to remember that what this is showing us is the collectiveness of all. Like all beings, like even though we're physically separated from other humans at this time, you know, we emotionally and spiritually are right on each other. And the importance of understanding that, because that is the most important place to start. So, you know, we need to think about that, and we'll talk about plants and things.
Yes, that's right, because I suggested to you backstage, and that's right, and carefully scripted, you know, carefully, whatever it is, something scripted, out the window, they were all stripped here or there, we're just real, and that is everything being kind of stripped down to real. So yes, I had suggested to you that you nominate, you know, the plant cabinet. The plant cabinet would be great. You know, plants that we want to invoke, but also, you know, our wheel and deal and our playful backstage, you know, animating desirable metaphors, like as we do want to honor the horror of the corrupt graft and grab and incredible churlish cruelty, but what shall we ladle out? We are wondering, and that's why it is this cooperative, you know, wheel and deal time. I find it, you know, that humans humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. And what I said to you also backstage was, you know, every little dynamic, is it, you know, a freedom choice cooperating or a fear? And I was finding myself, you know, kind of, oh, I touched the metal gate spraying. And it's like, no, may every time we spray or wash our hands, you know, I was like, I want to dedicate to being a better human, a more authentic version of myself. There we go. You know, and that is part of our, what we were saying, deep insight with a kind heart is part of, mm-hmm. you know, when we're in the underworld, we practice everything that we know, and we go, all right, there's that thing. And you were wanting to bring in, well, plants, yes, but also turtle medicine.
Yeah, you know, turtle medicine is perfect for these times. And also, you know, you talked about hand washing. Before I hit turtle medicine, hand washing, if you're not using sanitizer, involves water and our connection and relationship to water. And this is perfect times for that, but also that water moves things. You know, we're washing our hands because it has the ability to take something off of us and the water's within us. So to use that. And turtle medicine, which there's different turtles. There's turtles that are land and water, and there's turtles that are just land, and there's turtles that are mostly just water. The sea turtles come out. But that medicine is about, it's many things. It's often used as women's medicine, the elders, you know, the respected ones. But turtle medicine also is about being able to dive into the deep, the underworld, the place, you know, that shadow place, and then come up very smoothly and very quickly and understand what you've been shown and understand how to use it. And then to be able to go back in. And that's what this time is. You know, there's times where we're doing great. And then I've talking to a lot of people during these times, and times when people are scared. They're in that shadow, scary place. And how to walk with that, you know, together at all times, how to come in and out very smoothly.
Right. Yeah. And again, just the, you know, toxin and tonic dosage, right? Just the right amount of informed, you know, and media, and then like, uh-oh, we'll know immediately when we just overdosed, going, no, and that's why we want to brew all of us together, you know, the many kinds of narrative, So what I've been also feeling is, you know, for me, all that I hold dear for, you know, democratic animism, wheel and deal time, you know, that humans humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. It's the trickster coyote bounding on stage with the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. So it is exactly the time when that to which we are all most dedicated is most deft, you know. Time, reverie, nature, step backstage, cooperate with what we love, all of those things. And then it's true. And then one can see the panic monster arise. But naming the monster is very good. Playing.
Yeah.
And jauntiness. And so, you know, what I just want to put on our altar of desirable mystery, you know, without hubris or presumption or even causality, let's experiment with we can do, you know, and it is all coyote wheel and deal going, if this, then that. I just in a small way, it's like my cat is missing again. And then I go, oh, right, you know, the last time he was missing, I vowed that I would write every day if he came back. And he came back and I forgot. Oh. Anyway, so it's like the renewal of the vows. Like, no, those are real. I've seen innumerable times where people made vows and then forgot about them when the good thing happened. And I'm like, oh, no, that's right. But if we do this, how about that? You know, so it is all, you know, I'll toss this to you. You know, what shall we die to, lest we die from? Big personal collective thing, right? So I'm sure you have a lot to put on the table. What shall we die to?
You know, Caroline, I think it's about, you know, this is all just part of it, you know, it's not all good. And there's stuff that's scary. And it's, we forget that that's part of it, too. And I think what we need to see in these times is that we were getting out of touch with all beings, we were getting out of touch, in some ways. And it's interesting that this physical distancing is forcing us to touch our emotional, spiritual place deeper and find that and connect on that level first. And so I think that's huge. And I think it's also these small places all over. In every place, people are taking care of it. It's not, you know, people are acting really silly and stupid out there too, but most of it is small groups in every place, and larger are taking care of each other and doing that. And in those coming together in those small groups becomes a huge group of change to understand our purpose is to take care of all. Our purpose is that, you know, I was talking about, you know, collectives and what community means. And the first point of community is that the most vulnerable shall be taken care of first and made sure that they're watched over. And that's what's happening in these times that we need to do for each other. That's what we need to think of first, you know. And there are plans for that. You know, Jane Bell put out, she's just a wonderful person, but she's a great, you know, and also a great Hawaiian essence person, plant person. And she sent this thing, and a veil of light is one of her Hawaiian essence formulas. And it's great because it creates a boundary between our energy field and that of others. So it makes you feel safe and protected so that you can relax in the midst of collective trauma and yet still feel everything.
Right. Perfect. In fact, just say that again so we can microdose on the words. There we go.
Yeah. Okay, so Veil of Light is the formula. It's a Hawaiian essence formula by Jane Bell. And it basically makes an energetic boundary between our energy field and that of others, and not to solely separate, but so that you're enveloped, and this is her words, I'm not as poetic as her, you're enveloped in a cocoon of safety and protection so that we can relax in the midst of collective trauma.
Perfect.
You know,
that is it.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah,
and it is the perfect remedy, you know, when you think about it, for these times. Yeah, of
right. Well, it was you years ago. Again, we're calling on every little fragment, every ally that lives in our inner council, and all useful things are pouring into our bodies from our own lives and all the lives before us. But it was years ago when I arrived on your doorstep, one of the times I stayed with you, and you said, oh, you look a little eaten around the edges. Here's this thing that somebody just taught you. Before you go out the door, imagine pouring iridescent dust, you know, it's an antidote to Trump dust, over one's body and then snap fingers and put the intention into it. Let that which is not good for me be swept from my path, and that which is good for me be magnetized into intimate cahooting. You know, but I added that last part. But it's like that sets the frame, right? And it's like, right, yeah. So that we can be fully informed with a kind heart, again, with curiosity, confidence, kindness, while looking at the spectacular, churlish, cruel incompetence, both demonically dirty tricks, Lord of Flies on purpose. The withholding of things, you know, and the unintentional due to sociopathic lackadaisiness. And we go, right, so we want to see that. Okay, we got to see that. But out of that, you know, so many people, I think it transcends any false divisions going, whoa.
Yeah.
And as you said, the rising up of a collective embrace, you know, and, you know, all of each other, and the people in prisons and in Puerto Rico and the people in cages and everybody in this jerry-rigged, duct-taped, you know, net of support that is collapsing, so that this in cahoots and designed by nature, you know, can rise up. And trickster is the intelligence that says, you betcha. And that's another Terence McKenna that, you know, he said, you know, big shifts when light is emerging from the ocean onto land and it feels like, oh my God, the daunting gravity, it'll kill me. You know, can we do this? And he said, life always responds, you betcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's tapping into that, you know, and it is that question of dosage, you know, how much information. Oh, that's good. Because a lot of it is detailed visualizing of what could go wrong, which I think is useful. But and I was mentioning to you that the people broadcasting, their big time shows normally on Zoom and Skype and just as technically kerfuffled as we might be today. And it's kind of charming. Like, the shows aren't very good, but it's kind of charming. And there's Chris Cuomo, who I always found to be blustering and annoying, but he is COVID positive and broadcasting from his basement. And he looks a little scared, but quite kind and deep, and we go, these are all part of our collective dreams. Everyone can change, everyone getting hooked back to what's really important, and being so admiring of the good. And yes, St. Anthony Fauci, may he be protected from the dingbats, from the Dementor dingbats. Can you do a little a boundary for St. Anthony Fauci, Karen?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is Yarrow time. Here's where I start and stop and here's where you don't. But I think what you're speaking to with the shows you're talking about is if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, which is actually a strength, and really be vulnerable when we walk in the world, and that doesn't mean weakness. It's quite the opposite. And let ourselves be seen, then we can connect. We can hook up. And that's kind of what's happening. And it's like we're in the United States. Those of us in the United States are seeing bad leadership as far as, the 1%, the big wigs, the quote president, really bad leadership. But what we're seeing is smaller groups of people finding within themselves their power and their leadership. And you talked about the GM workers and as an example of that. They demand you. Well, go ahead and say it.
Again, we're seeing goodness from actual community. That the General Motors workers went on strike to insist that the company retool to manufacture everything needed. All of that. And so yes, there's goodness. There's goodness. Make common cause with that. Good team and incredible bravery and support of people on the line and calling in leadership, and as well as wild ideas. Let's privatize the oil companies, or just opening up the imagination. But there are, to us, I do so appreciate the astro-mytho narrative, because it's like, look, it's not, the more I work with this language and the whole realm of divination, it's not what's going to happen to us. It's what is available to dance with. And I also like the where you were using the word vulnerable. It's like I like also using the word available. We show up and we go, we're available to be danced into place where we can do the most good, and have the most jaunty camaraderie and mutual aid. And these qualities of dedication, right now Saturn and Mars are conjoined in Aquarius. Saturn is dipped into Aquarius. How shall we gather? And there's a daunting descriptive, but there's a liberating, guiding narrative. How shall we gather? And you were saying, the many ways that we're gathering now, let all impediments be an experiment, be an incentive to experiment for a greater freedom. And it is right next to Mars, whose image is deserter from the Navy following their own wilderness course. And we go, may it be a blessing for all beings, to follow their own autonomy as a sacrament, and will lead one into good citizenship, real citizenship, the authentic dynamic. Mm-hmm. So,
that's a wolfberry, by the way, if you're looking for a plant. What you're just describing is finding one's power, standing in real power. And wolfberry does that. It's wolf medicine, and it shows us what part of ourselves we're using and what part of ourselves we're not, so we can fill that with ourselves. And it's low dose, it's like 1 to 2 drops is all you need once a day. But it's perfect for what you're describing.
Excellent. So would you put wolfberry, what position would you put wolfberry in your backstage metaphoric true government?
Council?
And it's the government council.
Well, I would have, so if I was doing this, whale would be, the oldest female whale would be holding everything, you know. And because I'm Southeast, and because it's the final council, the big council, of course, then it's going to be female elders, because that's how we do it, you know. So I would have Whale as the, like, ultimate voice, you know, because Whale is just about huge, big love and how to understand how to go from one thing to another, old to new, you know, they're migratory. So I would have Whale for sure. And that would be the medicine. I would have Solomon Seal because it's like, hi, John the Conqueror, you know, how do we do this? We can do this. We will do this. So right here on this side.
And let me on Hi John, because Hi John is very, very present. Remember, he's the trickster redeemer from the South, who made everything with a laugh. And his key phrase is, we're going to find a way out of no way. There we go.
Yeah.
Find a way out of no way. And that's very, very present right now. It's very present. If we cahoot with the Earth, Uranus's quintile series, then finding a way out of no way is available. And we are humbled enough to go, all right, we're available. We're available to find a way out of no way. And to the gloomy predictions that may well be realistic or even under, you know, but it's like, let's honor, you know, it's like the beginning of all Arabic fairy tales. It goes, it was and it was not.
Yeah.
So in these between worlds, this is the negotiating going, what I mean is, if this, then that, you know, what are the desirable things that the virus is bringing about, you know, introspection, industrial jackboot off of the jugular of nature, you know, and how can we wheel and deal to keep to that and lessen the suffering, you know?
And a little bit of humility, you know, these things let us see as humans, like, you know, a lot of humans like to think they're the end all be all, you know, like the most nothing touches us, and it does. And that's not, you know, you don't want someone to be harmed in that, but you want someone to be aware of, no, nothing rises over another. You know, we have to constantly remember that and have humility. So,
yeah, and just say again, nothing rises over another, meaning what?
Meaning, you know, from my perspective, everything is equal. Nothing is more important than another. Ever. Nothing.
Yes. I was hoping you meant that, but I just want to, let's just say it again. Yeah, this is part of, again, people can be older, younger, wiser, on stage, backstage, whatever, but it's true what Uranus Trickster teaches us in the language. But backstage, the ally etiquette, let's bring up ally etiquette, is direct straight across. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
And what's so beautiful and folded in this language, this guiding language, disguised as astrology or whatever, is Uranus is nature's evolutionary trickster genius. It's also democracy, equality, synchronicity. And it became dancing with this, going, why? Oh, I see. When we look down at somebody or up at somebody, there's no synchronicity. There's no magic, right? But if we treat each other well, which does not mean being nice, which means, you know, ignorant, but you know, spicy and not infantilizing anybody either, right there, but like, hey, how you doing? And also, if we can't deal on stage, let's go backstage and wheel and deal. How about this, you know, to spiral and snake and dance around. But yeah, no, absolutely. The only way to approach everything is equal. And see Saturn also entering Aquarius, going, and how shall we gather in that way? You know, the Arthurian round table now replaced with grandmothers, we don't know, but shining radiant individuals, you know, all dedicated to protecting the community. That was the mythological experiment, equal people around a round table. And that's a good thing for us to envision, and community not limited to humans, right? Because that's also in our guiding script, right? It's you know, who do we encounter and what do we love and how should we form an alliance and become more like it. So it's more like Whale in a humble way. We do not presume. But because the last time we did this, we did a double show together in the winter, which was great fun. And you did bring up, because I love your fierce discerning, your diagnostic woof with a kind heart. It's great. And you were saying, I see all these ayahuasca heads around and everybody, you know, kind of whatever. It's like, because we want to address the shadow and everything worthy should have a South Park episode. And you said, you know, you can microdose everything and small, and then you had mentioned your friend who made the whale tincture, and maybe you could bring that up for all of us to experience as well, a little drop of that.
Yeah, I have a dear friend, Kay Parent. She lives in Newport, Rhode Island, and she's an elder and a wise elder and an amazing plant person and energy person. And she had a whalebone for many years, which had been given to her, and then she gifted it to me. But she was in communication with this being, because nothing dies, you know, energy is always alive. It just goes into another form. And the whale said to her, she wanted to make a formula, and it came to her and said, well, fine, but I'm going to tell you how. And so it asked for a piece of that bone back. And so I mailed it to her, because she said, see if there's any piece on there that you don't have to break off. It's just loose. And I found one. And the whale told her, and mind you, she's an elder, in the middle of winter, here's the place in the ocean you're to go to, down these cliffs, kind of, waves smashing along. Here's the water, the seawater you put in. Here's how you do it. Here's how long. And so, you know, it guided her because she was open to this, you know, and the whale's like, okay, then let's get it right. So let me tell you how to do it. They work together. And I've never seen anyone, and she is so able to hear that kind of thing because she's open to knowing that energy never dies and that all beings can communicate. And this medicine, and Jane Bell has made an amazing whale essence, the Hawaiian essences. And when you take this medicine, it is impossible not to soften. It is impossible not to feel immediate love and connection to what all those around, meaning everything. I mean, I've never seen anyone not go there. So it's a beautiful thing when you open yourself, how someone can be guided to do something in this way, and you need so little of it. You know, you take like 2 drops in a bottle that's 2 ounces and take a drop of that. So it is very small dosing.
Right, and it's part of the Neptunian dynamic, because I remember what you just said, and also when you said it before, that, you know, one little drop, and you were like in this vast, this ocean of vastness. Whoa.
Yeah.
And available.
Yes.
What wants to speak with us? Because part of what's available is, you know, where would we all like ingenuity to arise in our lives, and a partnership with something we love in very often unexpected way. We don't know. There we go. So,
I just spent a lot of time. I just taught up in the Pacific Northwest, and I taught about 32 of us were together. It was like Native herbalists, Native midwives, and we were all living together for 5 days, 4 or 5 days. And so there were a lot of different nations represented. And there was a Tlingit elder who's a medicine person, Mary, and both sides of her are a killer whale. And they knew I loved whale. And we talked about it, took it. And so I got a lot of teachings from them because they are in very close communion. It's they're one of their main ancestors, of the different stories of whale and the medicines of whale. And how whale does things, you know. So it was really wonderful for me to be around people that, you know, this is just to, and, you know, one of their main ancestors, you know, not like, oh, we're so separate.
Right. No, merging. We're going to take a very short usual break, team, and I will aspire to be coming back in a clearer communicative style here, but we're going to take our very short usual Taj Mahal break. This is the Vision Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. We're all in this spooky, interesting, creative time. And our wonderful guest is Karen Saunders, host of the Herbal Highway on KPFA. That sane reverence may assume cultural narrative lead. And we'll be right back after this very short break. Thank you. Or possibly. Hello, team. well, maybe not. Okay.
No break needed.
Apparently, we didn't need a break. All right. We roll with, apparently, I didn't need to call in on a clearer connection. All right. Never mind. We're just like Stephen Colbert. I'm yelling in cell phones, and I can't look at the many texts that are coming in because I don't dare lose this call. There we go. We're all humbly authentic and honest. Okay. Never mind. Apparently, we didn't need a break. All right. Back to Whale. All right. Whale Radio. No, there is somebody there. We don't know. If there's somebody there, feel free to play the break music, and we will dance with that. Otherwise, you know, we're just... There we go.
These times are poignant. The winds have shifted. It's all we can do to stay uplifted.
Hi.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled him across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home.
No, somebody's being dialed up.
Well, never mind. Okay, well, we were going to try to pour togetherness. That's why I can't. No, now I can't get rid of it. Studio? Oh, never mind. All right, back to cell phone. Right, never mind.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's as though we're in your house. There we go. We're just all on a giant chat line. That's right. That's right. The phone was ringing. No other people could hear the phone ringing, but nobody in the studio could hear the phone ringing. All right, we're back to however we were. Whales. Whales. There we go. Whales. All right.
This is one of the big points of this of these times is you've got to keep your humor and you got to find something to laugh at.
Oh, definitely. Well, yeah, jaunty, even though fully informed. And again, as the 231 BC detective novels in China said, you want buddies with whom to exchange irony and dark humor and quips to maintain your spirits as you descend into the underworld in order to restore human affairs to be in accord with the earth. That's what we're doing in some small way without hubris. Without hubris. There we go. I want you to keep Whale there, and then I just want to go back into ugliness for a moment. You know that you know 300,000 of the wrong masks were sent to Chicago, going, oh, that is so mean. You know, and the governors bidding against each other, and FEMA to drive the price up, and Florida gets everything, and a White House spokesman actually said, you know, why is Florida getting everything? And they go, well, the president knows that Florida is very important for his election, his reelection. They're just naked. They're just naked. Just it's like the gods are like, how much more, you know, obvious do we have to make this? It's amazing. So may this be enough. How about that? May this be enough for people to go, oh, yeah. And,
but, you know, may there be clarity. Is what I'm hoping for, you know, people who've maybe had the veil pulled over them a little bit or, you know, wanted to believe in someone that shouldn't be believed in. So may there be clarity through this to see what's actually real and what's not.
Yes, you're right. May it be. And again, the kindness, you know, awaken in each heart and the and feeling and constraint be incentive to experiment as we are doing now in small and large ways. But it is, yes, spiral with it. Spiral with it. The small and the large, you know, again, and what we were saying backstage and the things that I always love and say over and over again, you know, but to practice these things, you know, whatever we speak to one another is that part of them we're inviting to dance, right? And we now there are conundrums of just the dementors of doom. It's like, what do we speak to in them? And this is where trickster spice comes in. We speak to the part of them that wants to go off stage, that is, you know, just tired of the whole thing, you know, it is anyway. But mm-hmm. but maybe we don't start there. I do want to bring back to you, you know, kind of whale dreaming world, ocean, ocean, ocean. You know, as long as we've had history, you know, human imagination has been tied to the sea. And this whole Neptunian realm, dreams, vision, ocean, in collaborative, positive, creative cahoots with incarnational actuality. So I want to go, dreams are riding metaphor and music into incarnational actuality. So this is part of all of our skill set, right? Again, you know, our collaborating and dreaming mm-hmm. the desirable world into being. So wherever you want to go with it, but again, the plants, nominating the plants, we have wolfberry. Well, that's right. You're putting your cabinet, our cabinet together. So whale is the whole big thing, the whole big, we'll say government for joke, right?
Yeah.
Right. And then wolfberry, what would we invite Wolfberry to be running? What agency?
I think, oh boy, if we could have agencies. I would say the agency there. Of self-empowerment and okay. self-enlightenment. You know, how okay. to be in proper power, how to be in real power.
And what kind of Jose Andres-like person, what Cancerian male should we put in charge of, you know, fantastic food for everyone? Well, Jose Andres. But what would be his... Well, I hardly ever guess signs, really, you know, but Jose Andres, World Kitchen, just indefatigable dedication, like, oh, I mean, there are so many great humans, like, stepping up, like, you know, we admire, we want that, yeah. to have that quality going. I hope I would do that. And I was like, God, I bet he's a cancer man, and he is, and it's like, oh, I knew it. Again, a shout out to all cancer men, meaning you have carried positive yang qualities that we all need. The return of King Arthur, that's what's humming right now too. Strong enough to be gentle. And Cancerian men, part of all of us, you know, lunar team, you know, they have carried masculine qualities, desirable masculine qualities like husbandry, that were exiled since industrialism, that, you know, tenderness and care and nurturing and that our culture has attributed to women. So Jose Andres and the whole team of men who cook, waters, you know, going, yes, you, and strong enough to be gentle as a virtue, going, yeah, you. So is there a yeah. plant? If Jose Andres is in charge, who do we have? Who's his cabinet of backup? I mean, he's working with All Food and holding, you know, fantastic bunches of tomatoes and everything. But I don't know, what plant would you see collaborating with Jose Andres to be in charge of the department of what?
The kindness, you know?
The Department of Kindness, okay, that's good. And food, nourishing kindness.
And food, you know, you got to have great food. And so, yeah, I would say, wow, who would be in charge of that as a plant? Well, you know, you think about cinnamon because it does Ooh. That. It's that, it puts what you taste when you feel cinnamon is what it puts in you as an energy. And I think we'd have to have burdock, because burdock, no matter what you do, you have to be grounded. And the most important thing in these times is calm grounding. And burdock is one of the most amazing plants to do that. My friend didn't have any to take or drink. You know, I was talking to her about it. She goes, oh, my friend has some on her place. It's just coming up. I said, go get a leaf. She took a leaf, tucked it in her ear for the day, and said it made all the difference in the world. You know, so you always have to have on a right. cabinet, you know, the groundedness, because if you're not grounded and you take off, you're just spinning, you're not journeying, you know. So I think it's important to have that on any cabinet, and it's needed right now.
Right. And say again what it is, because we also need plants for memory. So what do we want on any cabinet?
You mean besides another thing we want?
Yeah, well, cinnamon, burdock, that's good. We've got grounding. Because
I would say wolfberry, Solomon's seal, calamus, you know, that turtle medicine. Calamus is a beautiful turtle medicine. It's that how to look at the all. And that makes us up. That makes the world up. How to look at the all. How to look at the shadows, see the truth in them, see the lessons in them, and then come up and know what to do with them. You know, they teach us, like, this is not the time to keep going forward. This is the time to turn left or right or maybe, you know, over there. So I think Calamus is perfect.
That's great. And I just wanted to add a great teammate, Micah Nielsen, who makes great plant tinctures. But she would always give me Calamus for eloquence. I don't know if
it gives you clarity, you know.
It gives you the capacity to speak the truth, she said, or it supports that part of us. To be, you know, soothsayer, truthsayer. We go, that's really great.
Speaking of Micah, you know, they make amazing essences, not essences, but they make a tincture out of ambers, and which is one of the most calming things you can take. I remember they gave to me the Baltic amber, and the minute I took it, all I could feel was peace, you know, like just this quiet calm. And I think that's really crucial for these times also of, it's about being smart, it's about being aware, but knowing that we have to be calm through it all.
Right. No, that's great. And as you're mentioning it, we can all really smell it. Remember, you can smell what amber it tastes like in Baltic amber with just a little spice, so it makes us smarter. And the tinctures are very...
Yeah.
Right. Because there is such... cooperators are standing by. There are such... You know, an abundance and a proffering, and that's also, you know, just all around us, great wealth. Now, it is the economic. It's like years and years ago, a Cancerian playwright friend of mine said, "Do we live in an economy or a culture? Because an economy is a terrible place, increasingly terrible place. But let's have a culture." And the word culture, you know, if we look it up in a good dictionary, the first three definitions are all what we grow. And only later, by analogy, is it what we come to think of as human culture, right? So it's what we're growing, what we're encouraging, what we're cultivating. Yeah, so we love that.
And I think I want to pay homage to wind, because think about it. It's like one of the things people are needing right now is respirators, ventilators, things to get, you know, air and move things. And so, you know, our connection to wind... And what that serves us, you know, it's the breath we have. And with
all cataclysms, like where we're spared to not be in the terror of it, even though others might be, and that's why we want to send solace. But, you know, in the sort of near hurricanes here, I remember listening to the howling wind and go, right, if we're this side of terror, we can really listen. Like, what's it saying? You know, what's the earthquake or the mountain or the thing or the thing or the wind? And there's a lot of wind where I am, and it's like, what are you saying? And so that call and response, this ancient, needed now, animistic listening call and response. Yeah. Everything's telling us its story, and that's part of my work with Lucio Roncalli, which is when in demons, you know, with demons and going to the underworld, you know, you meet a bad demon, you want to ask, what's your story? What's your story, and how can we wheel and deal? Now, it's true that the Dementors of Doom currently, in taking the grotesque, churlish form that they are, it's hard. Help me, Karen, help all of us.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine, because most demons are just so much smarter and more interesting than what we got stuck with.
You know, you have to look in there. You have to face demons. And then you have to go, yeah, whatever, you know, and move past them. And this is the time of, this is snake medicine. How do we take a poison and turn it into power? How do we see that this is learning to go back to we are all connected? Like, the thing that's going to save us is the plant people. You know, most pharmaceuticals that people are using that are hospitalized are made out of plants. You know, the things that we have that are so beautiful with the herbs is they prevent you from getting sick. You know, pharmaceuticals don't have that. We have plants people can take. There are people out there in every community I know across the country, because we've been on, you know, these Skype calls, setting up preventatives for people, you know, antivirals, you know, things like echinacea and elderberry and lomatium. And we're not talking big doses, people. We're talking 6 drops twice a day, you know, a quarter cup.
Okay.
But it is about understanding that if we go back to all being connected, all beings, which this is making us do in some way. You know, I mean, something as simple as, I want to say this to everybody out there, you're going to, don't roll your eyes. Take your shoes off, get barefoot. If you can get outside on the ground, do it. If you're in an apartment, put your feet in the shower or in the tub and let water run over it. It takes away fear. It immediately grounds you, and it immediately allows movement within you, because all waters are connected. So that moving of the water over your feet allows the movement within your waters. And it is a really simple thing to do. You know, there's a reason all healing ceremonies, almost all healing ceremonies, have some form of water in them at some point.
And yes, and all of that, and the simple things, and I love in Luis Alberto Urrea's fantastic book, The Hummingbird's Daughter, and which Teresita, a real medicine woman in Mexico, was being guided by her Aztec grandmother, who just said this simple thing, you know, take off your shoes, feel your feet connected to the earth. And everybody here, you know, you're probably not driving, but even if you're driving, feel feet, roots going down deep, deep, deep and into the earth from your feet. And Teresita says, does this mean I can't be hurt, grandmother? And she says, no, child, we all get hurt. It means you can't be overpowered.
Yeah, nice, you can't be knocked down permanently.
Right. And so we're going, right. And again, see, the here we are, spring in the Northern Hemisphere, at least. Hi there, everybody else. You know, roots, underworld roots going down in direct proportion as branches reaching up, you know, equal. Because I still meet so many young, new teachers who are like, the ascended. And I'm like, and descended too. We're in a new era. It's no higher chakras, no lower chakras. All democratically equal. Into the cauldron, the higher, well, hierarchy, except in nature, vertical integrated hierarchy, as Janine Benyus says, means everything in nature contains the plan of the larger thing it's a part of, that part. But yeah, it's like, oh, we are part of the special 144 ascended. No, that's very old. No, never mind that. Ascended. And it sounds suspiciously colonial. You know, we are important, but other people not. So no, it is all we. And I do a shout out to the deft people who are toiling, like the medical workers, the people of ethics and dedication in the political realm, you know, to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and to, you know, just they dive down deep into the critique, holding nothing back, just really right, and then always end with we. And that's part of our storytelling skills, and oh team, everyone, you know, there are so many quintiles proffered to us right now. 72-degree angles of irresistible eloquence. You know, who would like genius in service to collective good? Raise your hand if you're not driving. The sun is quintiles of Saturn and Mars. Deep dedication, you know, opens portals between worlds, and it's a very positive dynamic between community supporting individual creativity. And individual creativity supporting community. It's a positive dynamic that is available for animation. And then just two more. Jupiter is quintile Chiron, the mentor centaur. Wounded healer kind of. But more mentor. So it says mentors throughout time be available if we open the doors. So that's where you are so great. I mean, you know, you, the plant mentors, right? I mean, any mentors that come to mind, Karen, plant, animal, human.
Yes.
Have you had mentors?
Oh, yes. I've had mentors in my life. Most of them, I have a lot, actually. I have a lot of students who are mentors. I have deep friends. I have elders, and I have ones that have passed that, you know, I can call on and remember, you know, when I get kind of like, oh, I wish I had a deep teacher again. But then I'm like, I do have teachers, and the ones that have passed, I just have to remember what they've said to come back to me, you know. But for another thing is Hawaiian essence is dolphin blessings. And it's perfect for these times because this is Jane Bell's words. It rejuvenates through deep interconnectedness. A reminder that you belong and are part of everything. At the deepest level, we feel connected and part of this worldwide movement towards rebalancing our relationship with all and with nature. So, you know, dolphin blessings, it really is about understanding we're part of something, you know, all that is without is within. And I think this is kind of going to show us that, you know? And
right.
I think...
And
go ahead.
Right, even on primitive... Wait, we're basically on two tin cans with a string here. But I did just want to bring in... I might have told her, but things rushing back to us. So I was listening to a live broadcast on the radio years ago, Australian, and a whale had been beached for some time, and it was collapsing and suffocating under its own weight. And the radio broadcaster, because that's what happens, and the radio broadcaster said the humans tried to help, but now the human team is on their way to euthanize it because it's suffering and suffocating. And then he said, wait a minute, a dolphin just swam up to the whale. It seems to be saying something to the whale, and whatever it's saying, the whale is perked up. It's rising up out of its weight, suffocating, and the dolphin's swimming around in the shallow water, just nudging the whale a little bit, and now the dolphin is leading the whale through this complex maze, sand maze and channels out to sea. There it is. It's gone. It's out to open sea. Anyway, I love that so much. It makes me weep even now.
Yeah.
And so may we all be dolphin to whale, you know, and may we all have a dolphin to our beached whale. And may our culture be a beached whale in which the dolphins be like, oh, you can do it. We can get out there into vast oceanic mystery. We can do it. Here you come on. There you go. Anyway, so I love that story. I mean, a true story, live.
Yeah.
I caught it at the right moment going, oh, that's really great. And I do think of it. I know a lot of people for whom I want to be dolphin. And like, you can do that thing. You know? And then, of course, we want the dolphin to go. And that theme of speaking across borders, right? The dolphin speaking whale, the whale apparently really knew what it was saying or got the energetic gist of the thing, right? And
they talk to each other. I mean, humans are the only ones that can't. We used to all have the same language. All beings spoke the same language, and then humans acted badly and they stopped talking to us. So, you know, they know how to talk to each other.
They hung up going, oh, it's the humans calling again. Oh, I'm just going to block that call. Exactly. So we want to open the... Right, block caller. It's a human calling again. No, all right. They're always calling with their sales calls or their. But yeah, no, exactly. So, right. So yes, to listen and to be available and to talk and to go. We're here. We're humbled. We're, you know, whatever shows up. What is it we love? You know, distilled down to our dedication. And kindness and reciprocal blessing, may it go well for you and may it go well for you. Just back down to that thing. And that feels good. And it is, you know, so mentors throughout time are available, everybody, right now, you know, we go,
and so is your neighbor, you know.
And so is your neighbor. Yes, my neighbor is texting me, but I can't read it. Maybe she's found my cat. But there we go. Right. Everything. Well, and remember the incredibly mysterious New York Times science article that said psychological, whatever it was, some grown-up science study said that one's happiness is more dependent on the happiness of our neighbors, even if we don't know them, than the happiness of the people we live with. I'm like, how do they know that? I don't know. But anyway, but it was fascinating. And ever since I read that, I'm like, and make a well for you. And for you. You little
yeah.
People.
And that's community.
For you.
That's the point of community.
Right? Yeah. It might be an evolutionary built-in thing going, I hope the humans realize that their well-being is dependent on their neighbor's well-being. Because it is. It's like, well, science proved it. The New York Times science proved it. There, you can relax into being kind and not worry that Harvard will sneer at you. Right, there you go. We can let these things...
Yeah.
So cringing into the cauldron. There we go. And then the last of three quintiles, these rare, the way I learned it, 72-degree angles, is Uranus, nature's evolutionary genius, at Five Taurus, which is the bridge over a rocky gorge. It's high John, how to get there, how to find a way over no way. And it quintiles Ceres, Demeter, dwarf planet, goddess of the earth, right? So in Aquarius, so the community of the earth and nature's evolutionary genius, which lives within us as well as without, is available. It's available. So I think for each one of us to say, well, where would we like genius? Where would we like a supportive partnership? Where do we want the opportunity to contribute our gifts to the world in a way that is replenishing to us? And wonder is great. It says we just, the backstage gods go, we just want you humans to wonder, because it's going to attract, you know, something's going to show up. I wonder what, you know, moving back into this call and response realm. So we're almost on our way out, but I want to give you the last anything, Karen Saunders.
I think I want to tell people that there's a Alaska essence called Liard, L-I-A-R-D, Hot Springs, and it gives you this astounding feeling of calm, but also movement. So like when fear comes up, you realize it too will pass, and that calm is always there. So basically allows for fluidity. It allows for movement. And I think that's important right now, to really see the lesson and see in every suffering there is power. There is something to be gained in everything. And how to find that in this, and how to understand, you know, your personal power in this, because personal power in a good way makes collective power work.
Beautiful. Anyway, it is wonderful to re-cahoot with you, Karen Saunders, host of the Herbal Highway.
Same here.
On KPFA. I guess it's
thank you, Caroline.
Now. Temporarily on Tuesdays. There we go. Thank you, sweetie. And thank you, Board Ops. I'm Caroline Casey. You can follow me on Patreon, Disney Actress Show, or Twitter, Stand Up Coyote, or any CoyoteNetworkNews.com. And we will reconvene next week. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, hon.